Good morning. How we doing? Good. You guys good? Happy Labor Day weekend, and I hope you have a great weekend. How many of you have plans this weekend? Not that many. Your plan was to come to church. Man, what a great plan. That is the best plan for Labor Day weekend. I'm so glad you guys are here. If we have not met, my name is Austin. I'm the youth pastor here, so I have the best job in the world, where I get to hang out with teenagers, high school and middle school, and get to help just walk with them in life, disciple them, and be a part of their lives, while also leading leaders of adults who love teenagers as well. So I'm so glad that you were here. I am excited for this Sunday to speak. And the cool part of having the youth pastor speak is I get to give you a snippet of what our teenagers get. And I've always said this on stage, that we are like teenagers, we just pay taxes. So it's the same thing. We were just like them, a little different. But man, I'm excited to read the Word of God with you today, and hopefully you are ready and you brought your Bibles. One of the cool things that we get to do in youth ministry is we go through a specific plan where we start with preparation first. So before we read scripture, before we jump into it, we want to make sure that our hearts are right first. We want to make sure that our minds are settled, that we are in the right place, because we know how life can be when it's a little chaotic or a lot is going on, or school just started a couple weeks ago and sports are started. My daughter just played her first soccer game on Saturday. She's 4 years old, so you can imagine they're just chasing the ball around. Life gets a little crazy. So what I want to do is I want to make sure we are prepared before reading the Word of God. Is that okay? Amen. Cool. So, if you are willing, I would love for you to close your eyes and have your hands on your knees like this. I want you to get comfortable, but not too comfortable. I don't want you to fall asleep. I tell the teenagers the same thing. So, with your eyes closed and your hands facing down, I want to just lead you through a guided prayer. This is a prayer for you, okay? For you only. So, in this moment, I want you just to take a deep breath, maybe in through your nose and out through your mouth. And as you do that, I want you to kind of just to settle. I want you to relax your shoulders. Maybe you're feeling a little tense right now. Just want you to relax. And while you're relaxing, you're taking your deep breaths, I want you to think of your life right now, those things that are getting in the way, those things that do feel a little chaotic. Maybe it is your schedule. You've got a lot going on. Man, maybe for some of you, there's some heavier things going on in your life right now. There's that sin that keeps picking at you. Maybe there's a big decision that you need to make going forward. Maybe you're just in a season of struggling. What I want you to do is I want you to take this moment and I want you to pray to the Lord that you can let that thing go for the next 30 minutes. I want you to imagine that this worry, whatever this thing you're holding on to, is falling out of the fingertips of your hands, and it is hitting the floor. I'm going to give you a minute to pray to the Lord about that. Ask God to allow you to release that in this time. Go ahead. Now, what I want you to do is that I want you to put your palms facing up now. I just want your palms to face up. Because what you just did was you allowed yourself to let something go for this moment. You just made room in your hearts and in your mind to receive something from the Lord. So I want you to imagine that now your hands are empty. Your hands are now open. Your hands are now free to accept what God has for you in this moment. So now I want you to pray again to God and ask God that you can receive something new or refreshing in your life this morning. Go ahead. Go ahead. Father, we thank you for this moment. God, we thank you that we get to prepare our hearts. Because all of us in this room, God, we have got a lot going on. We've got some decisions to make and some struggles that are holding us down. But God, we want to let those things go right now so we can make room to hear from you. God, we just want to see you in a new way, or maybe just a refreshing way this morning, God, because we need you. Father, we surrender ourselves to you in this moment to hear from you, God. So I pray for those in this room that we get to hear from you today, God. We pray all these things in your name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. I appreciate that. So I want you to grab your Bibles, and we're going to flip open to Matthew. And if you don't have a Bible, there is that seat back pocket. There should be some Bibles there. Go ahead and take that. And also, if you don't have a Bible, if you are brand new to church or you just don't have one, please let one of our staff know. We'd love to get you a Bible. We believe in it. It's the truth. And we want to make sure that you have a Bible that you can take with you and read it whenever you want. Okay, so I want you to flip over to Matthew 22, verse 34. Reading out of the Gospels, we're going to be seeing some words in red, which just mean they're the words of Jesus. We get to see what he is sharing. He's sharing to a big group. Then you'll see who he is talking to within this. Matthew 22, verse 34. If you're there, say word. Word. A couple of you. I'll wait. If you're there, say word.
Word.
All right. Cool. All right. We're going to read it together, and then we'll talk a little bit. Verse 34, hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Verse 36, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. We're going to stop there. Every year, you've probably heard this if you've been at our church for the past couple of weeks, but every year, our youth ministry has a vision or a theme that we lead them for the entire year. We're on our fourth year of a discipleship plan that we have for our students, where we walked through what their faith looks like for year one, what their culture looks like for year two, what their community looks like for year three, and this year we're focusing on what outreach looks like for our students. The theme, which you saw in the sermon bumper, is called Windows. You'll see our staff have these t-shirts that kind of represent that as well. It's called Windows. The idea of Windows is we want to encourage our students to become a window. Some of you are like, what are you talking about? We want them to become a window. What a window does to a dark room is it adds light. That it actually pushes that light out. But that window does not produce the light itself. It simply takes the light from outside, is in the middle of the wall to allow the light to come through, to shine in the dark places, to push the darkness out. So when we encourage our students to become a window, we're saying, man, we want you to follow Christ and know who he is and be all in to the point that you love him so much that you want to become a window to shine his light to dark places around you. And I'm going to be honest, our teenagers have some dark places around them. But the more that I thought about it, the more I talked to our leaders about it, I realized adults are no different. Adults are no different. We walk through the same thing where we have routines where we want to accept Christ, where we follow him, where we spent years and years and years following him, where we accept the light, but we're not a window to the dark places. So my focus is how can we become a window, and what are the dark places that we need to shine God's light to? How can we become a window, and how can we shine that light to the dark places around us? For me, when I was in eighth grade, I went to this church. I was in the youth group. I was a very hyper, crazy kid, you can probably imagine. And I had my youth pastor at the time. His name was Jimmy Limnios. And Jimmy came up to me one time after I was kind of crazy before youth group, and it was right in front of the Plex doors, and he was like, "Austin, come here." He's trying to match my energy. I'm a little crazy. He's like, "Come here." Puts his arm around me. He's like, "You know all these kids right here? Man, you got a lot of influence on them." I was like, "Yeah, whatever. That's so cool." He's like, "No, for real. Like, they listen to you. What you do, they do. So if you pay attention, they're going to pay attention. When you get crazy, they get crazy." I said, "All right, cool. Thanks, Jimmy." But that conversation stuck with me for a long, long time. Because what he just did was influenced me and reminded me that I can be a window. Because the friends he's talking about that I have the influence on were my dark place. They were the ones who were keeping me from learning more about who Christ was. They were the ones I invited to church, thank God, but they were the ones who we struggled with. We made bad decisions together. He's saying, "You got an influence on them." He's like, "You can become a window." So in that moment, I had to make the decision of saying, do I want to be a window to these people? Of course, that wasn't the wording I was using as a 13-year-old. But I knew what he meant. I had the influence to then lead them. So for us today, I want us to focus on that. And we see that within this verse. We see Jesus, who then is sharing after you have someone who's an expert of the law, talking about the first five books of the Bible. There's two names for it, either the Torah, you might know it as, or the Pentateuch. And what he's saying is there are 614 laws. It's a lot of laws. We'd be breaking a lot of them. At least I would. 614 laws. He's saying, goes to Jesus, tries to test him. I can see him saying, "Hey, which one is the most important?" Jesus is like, "I got this. The greatest one is this: love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the one that's just as even, or next up, is to love your neighbor as yourself." And he shares that, saying, that is now the most important. All 614, I know you might have thought those are all the same. When you break the law, you break the law. But he's saying, no, I know which one is the most important. It's loving the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. Saying, be all in loving God. And loving God so much you want to tell people about it. That's the most important thing. So what I want to do, what I need, is I have 4 points for us today. These are all 4 points that I've gone through or am still going through. That's the best part about preaching from the stage is I didn't figure it out yet. We're just doing this together as a church. Is that okay? So here's what I want to do. If you're someone who takes notes, I would love for you to write these down. I always encourage our students to take notes. If they're like me, I got to doodle. I got to draw a picture. I got to highlight. I got to scribble. Because as soon as I leave, I might forget it. So if you're like me, I'd love for you to take notes. You can take your phone out. You can write down whatever it is, okay? I've got some points that I went through that I feel like can help you guys as well. So the first one is this. If you want to become a window and you want to shine God's light to the dark places in your life or the people around you, here's what I want it to look like. First one is this. Stick to the bare bones. Stick to the bare bones. When I talk about bare bones to our teenagers, what I mean is like when you strip everything back, what is left? These bare bones, the structure, the thing that matters most. When you start with that, then everything else makes sense, right? So what happens is if we stick to the bare bones, when you want to become a window, when you want to shine God's light to the dark places around you, stick to the bare bones. Strip back everything and just hear what Jesus is saying. He's saying this, the first part. Love the Lord. I'm going to say it again just in case you missed it. Love the Lord, your God. The structure, the bare bones, the things sometimes we miss. We do all these things to grow in our relationship with God, but we're missing one of the biggest and ultimate commandments he gives us, is to love the Lord your God. And then it says, how? It says, with all of our heart, with all of our strength, with all of our soul, with all of our mind. He's saying to be all in. Sometimes we get caught up and we forget that's the most important part. We got to strip back everything else we think we got to pile on to be a Christian. All these things that make up our relationship with God. But there's the bare bones. There's the structure that he says is the most important law, the one you need to follow, which is loving the Lord your God. And sometimes we miss that in our seasons of our life. Man, we got to love the Lord our God with all that we have. I like to look at it as that's like the secret sauce. Like, you know when you get a good burger and you're like, man, that sauce was so good. Like, that's what made that burger good. Like, that secret sauce needs to be the love that God has for us that we can accept. That secret sauce is the love that we can say, I'm going to be all in for God. No matter what else matters, I'm going to start here. It's the starting line to a marathon. Like, you need to start somewhere, and if it's going to be anywhere, it's going to be loving the Lord our God with all that we have. So maybe that's you saying, I need to start with the bare bones. I need to stick to that. That's the secret sauce that I need. Number two, I'll explain this. Hopefully it makes sense. It's the youth pastor. He might have to explain it. Number two, some of us need to turn on our headlights. You're like, what? What are you talking about? We need to turn on our headlights. Have you ever been driving? I hope someone has. Please tell me this is not just me. You start driving and it's nighttime, and you've got these cars kind of flashing their lights at you. And you're like, what are you doing, man? Like, then all of a sudden someone's honking and more people, and you're like, what is going on? Like, what? And to realize that your headlights are off, anyone else, please. Oh, my God, it's not just me. Man, I'll be driving at night, and I'm like, I think this is fine. Like, something doesn't seem wrong. That's so dangerous. All of a sudden, I realize people are flashing their lights or honking, like, hey, turn your lights on. And in my head, I'm like, is there a cop? Like, do I need to slow down? Am I going too fast? Like, they're trying to warn me on my own journey going forward. It's come to realize that my headlights are off. But I have headlights, and I know how to turn them on. I just didn't turn them on. I share this because some of us need to turn our headlights on. We have the lights. We have the capability. But what happens is we just aren't turning them on. My mom lived, she lived in the Grand Canyon, not inside the Grand Canyon, but the city next to it. Are you following? Okay. She wasn't in there. She's on the side. She lived there when I was younger after my parents got a divorce. And we went to go visit her. I went with my grandma, and this room's going to relate, so I love it. I told the teenagers this, and they right past their head. How many of you know what MapQuest is, right? MapQuest? Am I saying a word that you're like, wow, I haven't heard that in a while, mind blown? I didn't have a cell phone. My grandma didn't either. I was like 11 or 12. If I had one, it was like a really like Nokia block, you know, had like snake on it. That's it. There is no GPS like we have now. And so what we had to do was type in the address online at home, and we print it out, and like that's our directions. Like, there is no update of a car crash or the faster route. And so we're driving to the Grand Canyon, and I'm in charge of directions. Thanks, Grandma. She's driving. I'm in charge of directions. It's about to be a disaster. I kind of knew that. So, you know, went into it planned like that. So we're driving, and I'm like, I think we're going the right way. We end up in a city called Needles. Like, what a horrible name for a city. I hate Needles. Both the city and Needles. I don't want to end up there. Had a Taco Bell, Jack in the Box, and a gas station. Like, that was all we saw. We realized, I'm like, are we on the right direction? I'm like, Grandma, we've got two decisions here to make. We can either go back, figure out where from the start, or we can ask for directions. But we realized that in the moment, it's like we had two decisions to make. And so it was like, I guess we're just going to, let's just ask someone for directions. So what we do is we ask them at the gas station, are we going the right way? Can you tell us where to go? He's like, yeah, you actually are on the right way. You just need to continue to follow that same road. You got it. You're on the way. This is what you need to do. And he told us and starts highlighting and checking things off on the paper. And if we didn't have him, then we wouldn't know where to go. Come to find out we were in the right direction, but we still ended up in Needles. What he did was put us back on the path. What a light does is shows us the path we're going. I want to read this really quick. John 8:12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. When we have Jesus as our light to lead our purpose and who we are in front of us, we know where we're going. So we can accept Christ, we can follow him, but maybe we're not going down the right path. We still have our lights off. When you turn on your headlights, you now know where you're going. When our headlights are Jesus, we know where we're going because he's leading the light in front of us. So if we want to follow Christ, we want that to be our purpose, we want that to be our journey, we need to turn our lights on. We have Jesus in our heart. We know what the light is. We just haven't turned it on yet. We haven't allowed him to lead us right down the right path that we now get to see what road we're going down. We just need to be reminded. The best part is there's people around us who are flashing the lights at me, telling me to turn my lights on. I wonder how many of us have people around us telling us to turn our light on, telling us to turn our headlights on. How many people around us are saying, no, you got this. You got to come back to church. No, I mean, you got this. You should serve in that community. No, you should be a part of that group. Now, we've got a great thing coming up for families. You should go to that. How many people are reminding us of how we can continue to allow God's light to shine in front of us? Turn your headlights on. Turn your headlights on. All right, number three. Some of us need to clean our windows. Clean your windows. How many of you have some dirty windows at home? Oh, so glad it's not just me again. My windows are dirty. I live by the Corsellos. Their windows are not dirty, man. They're clean windows. The only way I'm cleaning my windows is when I'm doing yard work and I start spraying things down, but I'm really frustrated, so I start spraying the whole house. Like, that's the only time I'm cleaning my windows. Some of us need to clean our windows. I like to picture it like this. If I'm a window and I'm dedicating my life to allowing myself to shine God's light that I'm just accepting, I'm loving the Lord my God with all of my heart, my soul, my mind, my strength, with that ultimate commandment that God gives us, I'm now becoming a window. I'm saying, you know what? I love this so much, I want to shine to other people. It's like if you love a restaurant so much, like it's your favorite restaurant, you're going to tell people about it, right? Like if you ask me what's my favorite food, I'm going to say, I love ramen. Like my favorite restaurant is Kagami Ramen in Camarillo. Like it is the best place. So if you were to ask me, I talk about ramen. Like I love it so much. I make ramen at home. Like I love it so much, I'm going to talk about it. That same way is with Christ. I love my Lord, my God, with all of my heart, my soul, my mind, and my strength. I'm going to listen to the ultimate commandment. Then it says the one that's right next to it is that I now need to love others as myself. But what happens is I start to do that. There's this dark room here. So because of me, I'm going to allow that light to be pushed out, or the darkness to be pushed out because of the light. So I'm in between this where these are people who are capable of seeing who God is, and I now have the opportunity to lead them. And maybe some of us started here. We're hyped up. We feel we're on fire for Christ. We are a clean window. We've got Windex on and we're wiping it all the time, making sure that that light coming through is clear. But different seasons bring different dirt that starts building up on your window. All of a sudden, it's been a while since you've been to church. You haven't opened up your Bible in a while. That's serving you. You're kind of getting a little over it. You start using words like, I'm actually a little bit too busy. Or, I don't know, my kids have soccer on Sundays. I don't know, that's not going to work for our family this week. I don't know, I'm pretty tired. I don't think I want to go. Well, who's going to that? If they're going, I'll go. There are seasons we go through where the window of where we are starts to build up dirt. And if you know what happens with that, the light coming through is not going to shine bright to the places that are dark. It's going to be a dim light. But our God deserves more than that. Our God's light is very strong. It is very bright. And we have the opportunity to be a window to shine to the places and people and culture that are dark. We then have to ask ourselves, are we cleaning our window? Are we making sure that we are taking off the dirt? Are we making sure that in this season I'm staying focused, that I'm going to make sure to allow, no matter what's going on, the ups and the downs, the mountaintops or the valleys of our life, whatever season we're in, we're going to constantly say, because we love God so much, he's going to use us. We need to clean off that dirt to allow ourselves to shine God's light to the darkness in its full capability. You don't want to give these people a false view of who God is, right? You don't want to show them just half of who God is. You want to show them the full love that it's pushing out that darkness to allow the light that God has to use us to shine through them. So maybe we need to clean our windows. Maybe we need to spend some time really looking at our lives and saying, man, what do I need to do to get back to the place where I felt strong in my faith? We send kids to summer camp every year and even a fall retreat that we put on. It's coming up pretty soon. What happens, and I love it, I love camp ministry, but sometimes students will wait to clean their windows when they go to these camps. They look at it as like, the rest of the year, I'm just going to do my own life. I'm going to drive without my headlights on. I'm going to go down a dark road, And I'm just going to wait. I'm going to wait for Camp Pondo or Moose Mountain to be the weekend that I'm going to then clean my window. I'm going to start cleaning when I go there. I think some of us need to do that today. We need to be reminded that can happen now. That we need to just ask God to let us focus, to clear these things out of our life, that we get to let them go and give them to God, so we now get to shine to the people around us the full potential of the light that God has for them. We need to clean our windows. Number four, we're going to read some more in a second, but number four is probably one of the most important ones. We get to this place where God's light shines to us. We understand loving the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. But there's that second part that says, then love your neighbor as yourself. He's saying it's just as equal, or it's next up. And so when we talk about that, I feel like the people who we're reaching, there's a quote that might happen where it says this: do you love me? Do you love me? I share this because I think that's something that people in the dark place might be asking us. They might be asking us as Christians, saying, do you love me? Do you love me? Are you sure? When students show up to youth group, there's the kids who maybe look like they've already figured it out. There's worship and they're raising their hands and they brought their Bible to youth group. And then there's someone new who isn't a Christian. They show up and they're like, I am not like that. But do you love me the same? Does the God you're talking about love me the same way that they love that guy who brought his Bible, who has his hand raised? I want to read out of Luke. So if you have your Bible, I'd love for you to flip there. It'll be on the screen as well. But I want to read out of Luke for a second. It's going to look like an extension to what we just read, but I find it to be just as important, giving us more detail. Jesus is going to share in a story, which I love when he does. For my brain, I love when someone gives me a story as an example to explain what is being said. So I love this. Okay. Luke chapter 10, verse 25 says this: on one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Sounds familiar. We heard that. Hey, teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit the eternal life? Verse 26, the words in red. What is written in the law? He replied. How do you read it? And he answered, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength, and with all of your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. 29, this is where it starts. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Trying to be smart with Jesus. Can you imagine? Oh my gosh. All right. Verse 30. In the reply, Jesus said, a man, here comes the story, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey and brought him to an inn and took care of him. That next day he took out 2 denarii, and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which one of the three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. This man is half dead, beaten, naked on the side of the road, has nothing to his name. And the people you'd expect to help him walked past him. Then someone stops and they don't know each other. He helps him. He covers his wounds. He puts him on a donkey, takes him to an inn and says, whatever you need, tells the innkeeper he can stay as long as he wants. I'll come back and pay it. The care that he gives him shows the love that he needed in that dark place of his life. He's on the ground. He's beaten up. He has nothing. That's a dark place. Some of you might feel that way right now. Some of you may know someone who feels that way right now. But they're in a dark place. And they're probably asking the people when they're walking by, do you love me? Do you love me? To the point where someone helps him and he feels loved by someone you would least expect it. Some of us in this room might hear something like windows and think like, I don't think I'm in the right place to shine God's light to others. But I think God uses those when it's unexpected. God's using those when it's unexpected. Two people passed by that you would probably expect who would help him, but they didn't. He still asked the question, do you love me? It was the unexpected who helped him. So some of us might be the ones in the room saying, you know what, maybe I am in the right place to shine God's light. Yeah, I'm not perfect, and I still have a little bit of a dirty window. I do need to clean it. I do want to shine God's light to a certain place. I do want to shine God's light to that person who I know is in a dark season, who I know that they don't know who Christ is. You might ask that question, do you love me? There's a quote by Bob Goff in his book called Love Does. It says, that's what love does. It pursues blindly, unflinchingly, and without end. When you go after something you love, you'll do anything it takes to get it, even if it costs everything. So my encouragement for you guys before I end with the prayer is this. How can you become a window? I always end with a challenge or a call to action for our teenagers. I don't want them to leave and be like, oh, that was good. Oh, yeah, that was pretty cool. No, I want them to use the word of God. I want them to hear it and apply to their lives. Going through preparation, observing what the Bible says, interpreting it, meditating on it, and applying it. Same thing goes for us in this room. I want us to leave saying, how can we become a window? What do we need to do? Do we need to clean our window? Do we understand what it is we need to turn our lights on? Do we need to start with the bare bones and just start by loving God with who we are and being all in? Or can we ask ourselves the questions, who is that person that's in that dark place that's probably asking me, do you love me? So how can we become a window? And I want you to think of what is that dark place you need to help shine God's light to? Where is that dark place that you have the opportunity to shine God's light to the dark place where you get to help push that darkness out of that person, those people, that community, whatever it is, to continue to show how important God's love is for them, that they no longer have to ask the question, do you love me? I want us to be a church that becomes windows together. Let me pray. God, with our head bowed and our eyes closed, God, you are calling us to something bold. God, you are calling us to something different or refreshing today. Father, for those in this room who want to accept the challenge that you're giving us, God, I pray that we can identify with ourselves. How can we become the best window we can be? God, how can we be the church that follows you and loves you? But loves you so much, God, that we want to shine your light to the people around us. Father, encourage us. Father, guide us. Allow us to see your love and how important it is in our life. God, that we head down the right direction that follows your path. Because you are the light of the world, God. God, I pray that we get to continue to look around us to see who needs to hear about you. Who needs to hear about the love that you are showing me and showing us in this room? We get to identify like those dark places need you, Jesus. So I ask that you help us. God, give us the right words. Give us the strength. God, give us the energy to say yes. Father, we love you. We thank you so much for the word that you've given us today. We pray all these things in your name. Amen.